When I was little, I was totally afraid of the dark. I wonder if you were, maybe you still are. When I was little, I remember we lived in a house with a basement in Kansas. Everyone in Kansas has basements because of tornadoes. And then when I would go downstairs in our basement, there was a whole routine. So I would go downstairs, I would play or do whatever we were doing, all that. But then it came time to come back upstairs, and I often would be the last one to come back upstairs. So everyone goes up the stairs, right? They turn into the house, and there's me. I got to turn the lights out. If we don't turn the lights out, Mom and Dad are going, why'd you leave the lights on? But there's a problem. Once I turn those lights out, darkness happens. And all of a sudden, in my mind, that's when the monsters come chasing you. So I would do this every single time. I would flip the switch, but at the same moment, literally without a breath, I would flip the switch and race up the stairs as though my life literally depended on it. Racing up the stairs, hoping that I could get just out of the reach of whatever was chasing me. It's crazy what darkness does to you and I. And it's like, it makes us like think things and be afraid of things and imagine things and run from things. And darkness, though, darkness has a lot of levels that you and I need to talk about. It's proof, if you just want to know, darkness has just an actual logistical problem in our lives. If you want to grow anything, you're not going to grow it in darkness. You have to have some sort of light, even if it's manufactured light. Darkness actually makes you and I in our emotions. It affects it. We need light just to be able to function, to actually do the things during the day. When you and I go to work or when we drive down the road, you want light. If you don't have light, you produce light. It's just logistically necessary in life. We got to have light. If you're ever looking for something, you always want more light. Sometimes now our watches have lights on it. Our phones now have lights on it. Light becomes necessary all over the place just to get around to do things. Most of us don't like living in the dark. But then there's even like an emotional problem with darkness. That when you are having a bad day, right? You probably might tell a friend that you're having a dark day, dark thoughts. That you feel in the dark. Anytime you ever use the word darkness to describe how you're feeling, it's typically because you feel alone, you feel isolated, you feel vulnerable, you feel like there's a major problem. Just think about how we use the word darkness. In fact, I don't know what you believe, but whether you believe in Jesus or not, it's almost a universal term to use emotionally. Darkness when it comes to, I am not in a good place. But of course, most of all, darkness is a spiritual problem. That's what I want to talk to you about. You and I need to talk about darkness and we need to talk about light. If you don't know this about the devil wants to put you in the dark. Because if he can get you living in the dark, making decisions in the dark, he can get you trapped. He can get you so full of shame and regret that you actually choose to stay in the dark because of the repercussions you think play out if you put anything in the light. Darkness and light, from the very beginning, have been a major deal that God has been dealing with, Satan has been using, and you and I are constantly fighting for more light, less darkness. So, let's have a conversation about light. But in order to get there, we got to start with darkness. So God has always known about the significance of darkness and light. In fact, I can take you into the Bible and you see immediately what's going on and what God does from the very beginning. He sees the impact in creation and begins to see this amazing thing. Watch this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, we've heard this. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, let me make a quick observation. I'm not going to try to make this overly simple, but listen. At the very beginning of all creation, there is darkness, and you notice where God is, facing darkness. I'm not trying to like make more out of this, but you should see that God is not afraid of the darkness like you and I have a tendency to be afraid of it. He is embracing a moment he has in the darkness, and he is creating something out of it. That's why the next verses, are hugely significant to your life and mine. Verse 3, then God said about the darkness, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Don't miss the significance of what God does first when he creates. He starts with light. He starts with the number one problem was darkness, and he deals with it. Day number one, God introduces the number one most necessary ingredient to life, light. Why that is important is from day number one, God's agenda has been to put darkness in its place. From day number one, God's agenda has been to put darkness in its place. That has more than just a creation meaning to you and I. Because when you and you have your life and I have my life and you and I face darkness, feel like we're in darkness, when we make dark choices, have dark times, you need to know something about God that I think is so significant. Is God's not afraid of the darkness. God wants to fight the darkness. And from creation on, we see example after example after example of God acknowledging, not ignoring, that darkness is not a place to live. Darkness is not where things thrive. Darkness is not how you and I grow. Darkness is not what your family needs and what my family needs. Darkness is not what you need at work or at school. Darkness is not what you want to have in your mind all day long as you're processing stuff and trying to live life. From day one, just pay attention to what God does first. Puts darkness in its place and says, there will be light. And he begins to create and create and create and create. But doesn't stop there. If you were to read the Bible from beginning to end, you start to read the Bible differently when you know that God starts putting darkness in its place, because he begins to do that even with people, where the devil just begins to trap people and victimize people in temptation. We begin to bite the apple and do all that kind of stuff. And generation after generation after generation enters dark times. And what the Bible spells out is his constant fight for you and I to get us out of the darkness and to put light in our life. In fact, he even had folks that so he would know how to like travel. A pillar of fire just would move in the sky and they would follow it. He would lead them down paths that they didn't know how to go, and he would light the ways. If you study scripture, it talks about how he will be the light, and then the whole Bible pointing to Jesus who shows up to be the light. If you looked at the Bible differently now, maybe this would help. If you want to understand the Bible is God bringing light over and over into our darkness. Look, it's a prophecy before Jesus even shows up. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. It's talking about Jesus coming. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Then hop all the way to the New Testament. If you're new to that, that's like the part that starts talking about Jesus. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Just for a moment, let's not just pretend like we're going into a new year and we're just going to do our best and make some resolutions. Let's let Jesus be a part of us. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. If you don't want to walk in darkness, just take Jesus' words. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Our biggest decisions of 2025 are pretty simple if you look at it this way. This year, are you going to live and reside in the light? Or are you gonna just allow darkness to overtake you? I know it seems like, well, David, come on, man. I wanna be in the light. Okay, no. I know most of us would say this right off the bat, that we wanna live in light. But I think embracing 2025 for what God wants it to be requires you and I to, before we walk through this door, I'm going to share some more with you. Are you going to choose the light over and over and over again so that the darkness keeps getting put in its place? So here's the problem about talking about light and darkness, and because you and I could come up with our own interpretations of what it means to be the light, where we might think, okay, I'm just going to be the nice person in the room all the time, or I'm going to bring Pastor David cookies and donuts, all which that would be a great idea. But like, how do we become the light? How do we do the light thing? And we got to be careful, because our opinions can dangerously lead us to think that we're being the light and we're not. We're being nice people, courteous people, sometimes passive people. Let's look at this. One of life's most important questions connects light and what's our purpose? Like, why are we doing life like this? What's the meaning of life? Like, why am I here is connected to the light question. Let me read this to you. Colossians chapter 1. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Well, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. And now here's the kicker. This is a big deal. Everything was created through him and for him. That is a huge, huge lead for you and I. How do we know we're being the light? It's when we are living for him, because everything was created through him and for him, for Jesus. So if you want to know, are you being the light? Are you locked on to what like God says about the light? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you want to make 2025, like literally where you're being the light, it's gotta be for him. What you're doing, what you're saying, how you're leading, how you're processing, how you're thinking. Life is about living for God. That's being the light. So then that leads to the second question here. By ordering my life to live his way, when you order your life to live the way God says to live life, that begins to walk you and I down to being this light, this light in the world full of darkness. I don't think you and I argue that there's darkness. But God has a way. God has the actual source, the actual directions, the actual how to bring light into this jacked up world. I don't know how your family's doing right now. I wonder, especially those of us, I mean, we're all like not meeting in person like we normally do. So we're in our homes or workplaces. Maybe you're jogging right now. Maybe you're on a treadmill. I don't know what you're doing. But my guess is you have a story right now of darkness. You have an example in your own life, a friend's life, a family's life, of people that are going through absolute junk, tragedy, trauma, where you don't know, there's full of uncertainty, you lack the clarity, all that kind of stuff. If we're going to actually be the light in those situations, we've got to go into those situations the way God says to go into those situations. I don't want to lose you on this, okay? So I don't want you to be, okay, so how do I go be that? Well, the Bible begins to help us know that this is how we do this. Matthew 22, 37 and on. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is how to be the light. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." So, let's sum it up. You want to be the light. I want to be the light. If we're going to make 2025 all about being the light everywhere that we go, in every problem that we face, every relationship that we build, every work day that we go to and we try to do the best possible, if you go to school, all that kind of stuff. If you want to be the husband, the spouse, the kid, the parent, if you want to be who you're supposed to be, then you have got to look at what Jesus just said. This is how we be the light. We love God and we love others. Love and light. How we are engaging God and how we are engaging each other has everything to do with how God says to be the light. So, let me ask you some very direct questions. In fact, here's how we play this out every year as a church. We meet, you know, in this way where you're sitting on some couch or doing whatever you're doing, and we're like, okay, let's have some questions. In fact, let me challenge you. When we get done here, I think if you'll take some of these questions and wrestle with them, either by yourself or with the people around you, it gets even better. How do I know I'm going to live in the light? I'm going to give you some questions that will lead you to a bit of a commitment. Here's my goal. I can't tell you everything the Bible says in one 25-minute kind of a sermon, but I can lead you at least to the next time that we gather. So here's some questions that I think are profound. Will you drag your secrets, excuses, and fears into the light in 2025? Will you drag your secrets, your excuses, and your fears into the light? Some of us are like, that's intense. I know it is. But I'm not just making this stuff up. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying. We are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're lying. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do not be a liar in 2025. Take your excuses, your secrets, your fears, and say, in 2025, I am not going to let the devil lie to me and say that if I drag this into the light, I lose everything, because no, you don't. You just flat out don't. You might lose a relationship, but you won't lose your soul. The devil's going to tell you, don't put it in the light. Don't put it in the light. There's too much to lose financially, relationally, positionally, all that kind of stuff. It's a bold-faced lie that he's got you trapped with. 2025, if you want to be the light, you got to look at the secrets in your own life, the fears that have you consumed, and say, this is the year with the help of the Almighty God. I'm going to drag those things into the light. Will you do that? That's one question. That's just one question. Peel back even further. 1 Peter 2:8-9. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. If you want to put the stuff into the light, we're going to need God's word to do this. We're going to need to know what excuses and fears and secrets need to get out there. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You've got to be willing this year to stop holding things in the darkness because you're afraid of the consequences. The truth about life is darkness is where the devil sets his traps. If you don't know that, it's in the darkness where the devil wants to keep you so he can enslave you forever. I'm not trying to be overly intense. It's just true. If you've ever made a decision that you never should have made, if you've ever had a dark day, you know that some of the temptations are to stay in that darkness, even though you hate the darkness. The temptation is, I'm going to stay here because getting out of this darkness is too much work, too many consequences. Don't let that be you. We don't want to give in. Here, 2 Corinthians 11:14. But I am not surprised even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. What? Yes. Like, the light is so attractive and so good that Satan himself is pretending to be a light in your life. And oftentimes, you know how he's doing that? He's saying, you're not in the darkness. You don't need to do this. Keep it your secret. Don't tell anybody. But I'm not surprised even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. The rest of this year, I'm going to talk more about this. What I'm trying to draw you to is, will you drag your secrets, excuses, and fears into the light this year? If you are willing to do that, if you will let the Holy Spirit work on this with you, if you'll begin to make a list of the things that you know you need to give to God, He'll begin to work on that, on your soul. Now, here's the second one. Will you use your time, talent, and treasure to shine light into the darkness? This isn't just about the darkness. This isn't just about the darkness in your life. This is about the darkness in others. Are you willing to bring light into the lives of other, people? Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. These are two, I think, profoundly life-changing questions. Will you drag the stuff that is in the darkness into the light? And will you bring light into the darkness of the people around you that you know and don't know? These two questions must propel us into being people who follow Jesus Christ and live in the light. A little bit over a century ago, there was a whole band of Christians, a group of Christians who decided to do something that is epic. It's actually affected you. So what they did is they decided to leave their homes, their normal places, their where they grew up, where they were going to go to school, all the normal routines. This is my American dream, but this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. They all leave it to go across the world so that others would know who Jesus is, to spread light. And here's what they did. This is why you and I know the story. They actually packed their bags, as you and I would say, they packed their bags normally. They were known as one-way missionaries. What they did, they built coffins. They put their belongings in the coffin, sealed the coffin up, and that was their suitcase. They had no intentions of ever returning where they were leaving. When they said goodbye to family, it was forever goodbye to family. They're known as the one-way missionaries, and they got the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the light spread all over the world in some of the most epic ways possible. Now listen, one of them, his name was A.W. Milne. He took the route of going to the South Pacific. The South Pacific, where he would go to a group of people, and I know this will sound scary and pretty intense, he was going to go tell a group of people who were notorious for killing anyone who ever showed up. It didn't matter if you were an outsider, you got killed. They were headhunters, literally. And he shows up in the South Pacific to show them who Jesus is. 35 years later, he spent 35 years with them. They let him come in. They let him tell them about Jesus. They let him show his light. 35 years he spent letting him know all about the good news of Jesus. And 35 years pass and he passes away. The reason I tell you this story is because what they actually put on what you and I call his tombstone in the middle of the village, they actually put a special epitaph, the special marker in the middle of the village. But here's what it said in memory of him, marking where he would be buried. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. That's how they remembered A.W. Milne. The one-way missionaries are more than an inspiration to you and I. What if you and I looked at 2025 differently? What if instead of saying that this idea of being a radical Christian or someone who brings light into places, rather than say that it's a personality-driven kind of a, let's go be a light, what if you and I looked at this new year and said, I am going to bring light where I go. I'm not going to play it safe. I'm not going to play it passive. I'm going to let my faith in Jesus Christ become a light for others. I'm not going to ram the Bible down their throats. I just want to bring the light of Jesus to their lives. What if you and I brought it into our homes, our workplaces, our schools? What if you and I said the way to be faithful, the way to be a follower of Jesus in 2025 was everywhere we go, whomever we're with, we let the light of God that is in our very lives become light that we reflect in the and all that we're ever a part of. So here's my invitation for this new year. Would you come along with us, Fountain Springs Church? Join us as we spend the whole entire year looking at how do we be the light of the world?